Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and time for another Radio Fishing. We got Captain Kale on the line. You just get off the water, Captain?
Just got off the water.
So how was it today?
Pretty good. Things didn't heat up until this afternoon, literally. Kind of cold this morning. We tried Pirate Harbor inside and outside first thing this morning. Didn't do any good. And then we headed over to the west wall on the incoming tide and hit some of those deeper creeks, and that worked a lot better.
All right. What was hitting?
We caught quite a few redfish, a couple of snooks. Got a really nice 6 and 8 pound black drum, some sheephead, and that pretty much wraps it up for what was biting.
So what were they hitting on?
Everything was shrimp.
Well,
I don't think we'd have gotten anything to eat artificial if our life depended on it today.
Yeah, I've been hearing it was pretty iffy out there at best.
It was this morning. This morning nothing happened. And I mean by nothing happened.
That was a lot of nothing right there, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that we had hit our shrimp were a couple of small sheephead up inside Pirate Harbor, small snapper, and that was about it.
Okay, and what changed? You went shallow on the... you were trying to hit those deeper water canals over there in Pirate Harbor. And what was changed?
Yeah, and nothing happened there. I think the big change is, even though the canals are murky in Pirate Harbor, they're still relatively clear. But those little cuts on the west side stay murky. Right. Always. You will never see clear water in them. So I think they're a few degrees warmer. Once the sun came up and things started to warm up, the fish turned on, but we didn't catch our first fish until I think it was noon.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was a late bite then.
Yeah, definitely. But once they started, it was on like gangbusters.
Very cool. So now, was it shrimp on jig head, shrimp on hooks, shrimp on popping corks? What was the ticket?
All shrimp on hooks on the west side. Everything was pretty much stuck to the bottom. Even the snook, usually you catch them on free line shrimp before you roll a shrimp on a jig head or a shrimp on a split shot. And we had started throwing free line shrimp and nothing. We'd stuck everything on the bottom, and that's where everything wanted to be.
Well, you know, that's, as you and I have said, Kale co-hosts the fishing club meetings with me, and we keep trying to tell people, adapt and overcome. If you're going to fish one way, the fish have to agree with you. And it's better to find out what the fish want than what you want to do.
Yeah, it's much easier to change you than a fish.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly the way it goes. So
yeah, it almost makes me wonder, you know, on cold days like this, have you ever had a pile of dead leaves or anything around your house? What do they call them? I'm having a brain fart.
I have no idea. A pile of leaves, yeah.
A mulch pile.
Gotcha. Mulch pile, yeah.
And you turn over the mulch pile every once in a while, and you feel how warm it is inside that mulch pile from everything decaying.
Right.
And it almost makes me wonder if all the leaves on the bottom inside those little cuts on the west side do the same thing, and does that produce heat when it, as it rots and decays? And
now, I know they take a tremendous amount of oxygen to do the decaying process, so
right.
It would stand to reason. That's probably a very good theory, because if they're if it requires that much oxygen, it's got to produce heat.
You would think most things do.
Yeah, I mean, anything that needs that much oxygen to happen has got to have some type of catalytic inversion going on, the decaying process. You know, you stick your hand in a pile of, I'm from farm country, and we would chop up corn and put it in a big silo, and when you got your hand up in the middle of it, it would get very hot. And
yeah, I mean, those things have the potential to explode.
And the same thing with a barn. If you put hay in a bale when it's too wet with too much moisture, it will literally catch fire and burn down your barn. So it's a very, very good theory. That thick mats of mangrove leaves and decaying algae and vegetation, that's actually the first time I've heard that theory, but really, got to tell you, that's sharp, real sharp.
Yeah, or I think too much, one or the other.
No, but it's all about breaking it down. And part of the stuff we do here, Cale does, you know, even though he's charting a lot, when he's not charting so much, he works here at the store more, but Cale does work at the store. And one of the things we always try to do is figure out why something's happening. It's my biggest interest in the fishing business is, why does this work? Why does it happen? And that's an amazing hypothesis. And I think that we can call that one a absolute Caleism and run with it, because while it might not be a proven truism, that's actually an ism in there somewhere.
Yep, I guess so.
No, I'm 100% on your side with that. That boy, so simple and elegant. That's a great philosophy. So anyway,
well, you know how the saying goes: if you can't dazzle them with brilliance.
No, I'm giving you all brilliance in this one, buddy. Accept it, take it while you can. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting all the kudos for Frank on this one. You're on the high wave. Accept it, and enjoy the moment, for God's sakes. That's no, absolutely brilliant. I can't imagine nobody's ever thought of that, but boy, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. Makes a lot of sense. Brown water, extra solar collector, extra heat from the decaying vegetation, all that, you know, and it doesn't have to be much. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be
a couple of degrees will turn these fish on and off.
Yeah, I mean, if people don't realize how, but always think at 32 degrees, water turns to ice. It does not do it at 35.
Right. Well, we'll do it at 33.
But that's what I'm saying. 1-2 degrees.
Yeah.
Huge difference. So,
yep.
Anyway, are you booked up tomorrow?
I am booked up tomorrow.
Okay, and what's your game plan?
Well, tomorrow was supposed to be a shark trip.
Ooh, that is... I'm going to say, I know you're the guru shark guy. I mean, you really are, Cale. You did a great job on the shark, but I don't even know how you're going to pull this one off.
I'm not even going to attempt it. I chickened out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I chickened out. With the fish not biting until noon, you know, it's kind of hard to make a full day of shark out of that. So, you know, I've kind of take the loss, and I'd rather be honest to my client and tell them that, you know, I think picking you up about 11 o'clock is going to be a better idea, and we'll go after some snook and redfish tomorrow.
You know, you might want to stop in your little wonder hole there. You've got that one spot that's a heavy producer, and give it a half hour, 40 minutes, just to see if you can pull that magic bunny. But
yeah, it's the thought's been in my head, but every time I've been crossing over the harbor, I stop, and I run the fish finder through there. And the nice thing about those side finders are they can see sharks. Well, your normal sonar doesn't.
Right.
And I haven't seen hide or hair of anything out there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, have you seen any bonnets out there? I mean, they with that light tackle, you know, we're using at this time of year, they'd be a lot of fun on light tackle.
Yeah. The guy doesn't want bonnets. He wants sharks.
Yeah, I think he came with the wrong January, or wrong February, rather.
Yeah, so not really. But,
last year at this time, you were rocking them. You could go out and just nail sharks. But this year, I don't think it's going to happen until late March.
No, me neither. He's a charter captain from up in Virginia, so you know he understands, and he was much happier that you know I was honest with him instead of just going out there and sitting and bobbing around all day.
because that would have been one heck of a sit and wait, but you would have sat there for hours. I just don't believe anything would happen.
Yeah, who wants to pay $550 to be a bobber all day?
Yeah. There's a place in town you can go do that with. But anyway,
yeah,
we'll let that one slide. We'll be nice. And anyway, I'm going to have to get going here. I got they're backing up in the thing. But thanks much for the report. Any advice for people tomorrow?
Take your time. Early bird isn't going to get the worm tomorrow. Let it warm up. Don't go rush into the boat ramp at the crack of dawn. Let that sun come up. Let things warm up. If you're throwing artificial, slow your presentation down, and we'll pull it together.
Yeah, and I think best thing to do is to take Kale's advice, and general thought would be black, dark grass, decaying leaf vegetation, anything dark colored to absorb the sunlight, make it a couple of degrees warmer around it, those fish are going to be more attracted to that.
Yep, definitely.
All right, Captain, and this is Captain Kale, and if you click the Bad Fish Charter, it's right next to this broadcast, and that'll take you to Kale's website. You can get a hold of him and go out and catch some snook and redfish. Have a good time. Kale's a lot of fun to fish with. So enjoy your day, everybody. Thanks for listening to Radio Fishing. This is Fishing Frank. That's Captain Kale on the line. A little up-to-the-minute fishing reports. So thank you much for listening.